Welcome to the Credible Brand Podcast, where we are empowering CEOs for long-term business success. I'm your host and marketing strategist, Lindsay Wigfield. One of the best ways to improve our business is to learn from the stories and insights of other savvy business owners. That's why we interview those who are celebrating a milestone anniversary, and today we are diving into the world of weddings and creativity. One of the best ways to improve our business is to learn from the stories and insights of other savvy business owners. That's why we interview those who are celebrating a milestone anniversary, and today we are diving into the world of weddings and creativity. Based in Savannah, Georgia, Ivory and Beau has redefined the wedding experience by seamlessly blending wedding planning, floral design, and exquisite bridal gowns all under one roof. It's a place where brides can immerse themselves in a world of beauty, choice, and personalized touches, guided by a team dedicated to making wedding dreams a reality. At the time of this recording, the business has 1,398 five-star Google reviews, and the most common feedback received is that Ivory and Beau made the experience stress-free. I can't tell you how much that means to me as a past bride. I would hire that vendor in a second. Celebrating 10 years in business, please welcome CEO Nicole Mason, the visionary leader behind Ivory and Beau. Hi, Nicole. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Can you tell us a little about yourself and how you got into the world of weddings?
Yeah. Right out of college, I went to my cousin's wedding. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I know I wanted to be in Savannah because my boyfriend at the time was relocated here. So I was trying to figure out, like, well, what do I want to do? And I went to her wedding, and just from watching her wedding planner, I was like, I want to do that. And so I pursued a job as a wedding planner. And I remember, like, I reached out to pretty much every wedding planner in Savannah and Hilton Head, and only two responded. And I did an interview with one of them, who was Layla. And she was like, it's not glamorous. People always think that, but it's not. But she gave me my first job. So that was how I got started in weddings. From there, I had like some side jobs just to help pay the bills. And I started at David's Bridal, and that's where I fell in love with wedding dresses and the whole experience of working with brides. So it was just right out of college. I got started in the industry and fell in love with it.
I love how you reached out to current wedding planners to kind of get a taste and, yeah, like you said, be able to interview them. Do you have anyone reaching out to you now to find out what the world's like and if they're interested or not?
Yeah, I mean, we get inquiries all the time for, you know, opportunities, whether it's for an internship to learn more about the position and like what that career actually looks like. And I've had a few people reach out just about learning more about the industry. Not a ton, but every once in a while.
I think you said her name was Layla that
yeah.
coached you. Is she still in wedding planning, and are you still?
No. So I worked really part-time for her. And then like a year after I started working for her, her husband got a job offer in New York. And so she sold the business. She was like, I'm going to sell this business. She had five weddings on the books for the following year and asked if I wanted to buy the business from her. So I purchased it, and it was called Simply Savannah Events. So that's still our legal LLC name. I never changed that. But she is now a teacher up in New York.
That's amazing. What a connection. Who would have thought that you'd have the opportunity to buy her business after just like reaching out to ask what it's like in that industry? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I also was reaching out to see if she needed any, any help. So it was a part-time, very, very, very part-time job, but it was awesome. And I remember like when I told my dad, I was like, you know, she's moving and she's asking if I want to buy it. Should I do it? And he was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He's like, go back to school, Nicole, or get a real job. But
ouch.
Then he changed his mind. He slept on it, and then I think he called me back the next day, and he was like, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I think maybe you should do it. And so now here we are.
Yeah. What would you say are your skills for being in that industry?
Oh, man.
That are important strengths.
Like, as a wedding planner, like, what are your strengths need to be? Yeah. I think you have to be very fast on your feet. You have to be able to, like, solve a crisis very quickly. There's a lot of moving parts to a wedding. And there's a lot of emotion for everybody that's there, for the bride, the groom, or if it's, you know, a same-sex couple, the bride and the bride, the groom and the groom, you know, there's a lot of emotions. And then you have moms and dads and step-parents too. So there's just all these dynamics, personalities. And then you're also working with a lot of vendors. So you're managing a lot of different companies that are bringing everything together. And there's so many things that can come up. So you have to be able to stay calm, figure out, okay, this didn't work. This is what we're doing. And you need to move really quickly. Because if you hesitate, then you might really screw it up. And you've missed the chance to fix it and pivot and do something that's going to make it all be okay.
How do you handle those difficult personalities?
With a smile and just try to reassure them that you're on their side. You want the best outcome for everybody. And, you know, you're working hard to figure out what to do. It's so funny. Like, I don't work at the weddings anymore. I'm very fortunate that I have a team that handles it. And, they do a lot better than I did. So, you know, just got to have people who are confident in their abilities and are able to de-stress people and, you know, make a strong connection so that those people and those clients really trust that you've got it under control.
Yeah. So you started in wedding planning and then now you're kind of a one-stop shop. What did you add next?
So wedding planning, and then I wanted to start doing flowers because as a wedding planner, sometimes you spend a lot of time just like watching everybody else like move around. And, you know, I like to be really busy and I like to be very active. And so I would watch the florists come in and make everything so beautiful. And I was like, I want to do what they're doing. Like, that looks really fun. We started doing flowers as well. And now I would say we do more flowers than we do like the wedding planning, just because, you know, not everybody may be hiring a wedding planner, but pretty much everybody who's having a wedding is going to have flowers. So that was what came third, I guess.
Okay. And then the dresses?
The wedding planning business I bought in 2012. And then, like I said, I worked at David's Bridal and I had a business partner originally. So she was like, let's open a bridal shop. So then that opened that's what we're celebrating 10 years. So in 2014, we opened the bridal shop.
Gotcha. Congratulations. And you just changed locations, right?
For the last like 4 years, I've been trying to find somewhere to be able to buy, because since 2020, I had been renting two locations, which the cost of renting two locations is equivalent to owning. And it just seemed like the next step. So it's a weird building, but purchased a portion of the building plus the back warehouse last year. And then we were finally able to move the flowers in, but we're still not in the permanent location for the boutique yet.
Gotcha.
Eventually.
So in addition to being this kind of one-stop shop for brides, what do you think makes Ivory and Beau different from other bridal boutiques in the area?
I think it's just the vibe, I guess. I could be wrong, but I feel like, because I'm not from Savannah, I'm not from the South, like I'm from Oregon, we have like a very fresh, I think, just not like your traditional Southern style, which nothing against that. That is beautiful. And we do traditional, beautiful Southern weddings all the time. But I think that that's kind of part of it. And also I feel like I've never been anybody but who I am on like social media. And so there's just, I guess, a feeling of connection that maybe people get. Like, I want it to feel like a very comfortable and fun place. Like, I, most of the time, I'm always trying to be laughing. I always want to be having fun. And so I think that that personality and that level of funness, and we're all happy here. Not that we're always happy, but it's just a level of like comfort. And then I feel like I've just been really blessed in that the people that are on my team, I think they also portray and have that same quality of just being like a good vibe. a happy
Very
place
authentic.
where it's like you, it's comfortable and it's fun.
Yeah. Speaking of your team, you have a chief operating officer, Holly. When did you decide that it was important to have a COO, and how did you find Holly?
So Holly started, I think, in 2020, and she was a stylist. And then when my assistant manager at the time moved, Holly moved into that position. And then we restructured a lot last fall. I think things just naturally got too much for me personally to handle. I do have two kids, so it was just like trying to manage all of these employees and moving parts and responsibilities just got to the point where I was just in over my head, and also, you know, trying to buy a building and get a loan and then, you know, moving into the building, it was too much. So it got to the point where we sat down and really brainstormed how we were going to restructure the whole business and restructure some of the responsibilities and add new positions so that it took a lot off of my plate so that I could focus on the areas that big picture stuff. And it was the best decision ever. So she, you know, manages the team. I'm still around, but I'm not as involved in like the day-to-day happenings of each role.
Yeah, that makes sense. Speaking of children, what is, or do you have some tips for anyone, either parent, who are balancing wanting to be at home with their kids and having a business?
I think just for me, it's like when I'm there, how do I want to word this? Let's see. I think, and it's even hard for me at times, but I try really hard not to feel guilt when I'm at work because I do have a job that I am so passionate about and that makes me so happy, makes me feel fulfilled. And so that's really important because then when I go home, I'm like 10 times a better mother. Like I'm authentically myself. I'm happy. I'm cheerful. I'm excited to take that break from work. And so it's been tough because it's like I have to, there's no shame in getting the childcare and the help and the support that you need so that you can do the things that are, you know, fill up your cup so that when you go home, you're just like able to really be like the best mom that you possibly could be.
Yeah.
But it's not easy. I
right.
still struggle with guilt. It's hard for me. It's like I have to like be reminding myself constantly, like, it's okay. You're doing a good job.
Right. Yes, I agree. I got two little ones and it's a conscious effort to be like, okay, work time's up and now it's time to focus on the kids. Or,
yeah.
All right, the kids are off at school and now it's time for me to jump back in to work
yeah.
mindset.
Yeah.
You are very transparent and open and vulnerable on your social media. And I think that was what you were mentioning when you were talking about your vibe is a little bit different from other boutiques in the area. So you've shared the renovations that are going on behind the scenes. A funny miscalculation on the size of a chandelier for your office meeting space and a glimpse at your life as a mom and business owner. So how would you define your social media strategy?
It's changed a lot recently because I did like for so long, like I was really the only person posting on Ivory and Beau's main Instagram. I guess I can speak a little bit about what my strategy was when I was managing that. For me, I wanted to always show up authentically. Like I'm a human too. I make mistakes. We're a real business. And I really enjoyed showing some behind the scenes just so people saw like we're having fun. Like, you know, we're a passionate group of people who are happy to do, like we want to help with weddings and we work really hard. And then another aspect that was really important to me was that I wanted to make sure I was always being very mindful of inclusivity as a brand. So whether that's, you know, showing brides and wedding dresses of all sizes, of all ethnicities, different sexual preference weddings. I wanted to make sure that I was showing a very diverse array of customers because it's important to me that people know that our business is inclusive and we don't discriminate for any reason. So that was my strategy. And to continue to just show up. And that really helped us get through COVID, was even though maybe we weren't working as much, making sure we were still there. We were hanging on. We were still open. We were still around.
What does your social media strategy look like now? You have someone on the team that handles all that for you?
Yeah. So I added someone who really does a lot of that. And I would say those things are still important, especially with the inclusivity and diversity. Well, I guess maybe the strategy hasn't really changed. It's just that I personally haven't been posting as much, but I still occasionally, like, I love making reels. So I still have been posting a few here and there. So I guess it hasn't really changed now that I think of it.
Just the person responsible.
It's
for
just
it has
the
changed.
Person.
Which
it's
is
just,
good.
Yeah.
That frees you up to be working, on the higher level strategic things, and you have someone who can handle the social media stuff for you.
Yeah.
Your blog also provides regular updates and a visual look at your work, providing just endless examples of everything you do. Tell me about how that decision to have everything on your website happened. And also, how do you get approval from the brides for using their photos? And what does that process look like?
Yeah, well, again, I don't personally post the blogs. I have a social media person, marketing, who handles that. But back in the day, I was doing it. And I think, again, it's important to show up. And like, it's a free way to grow your business organically and to show your expertise within an industry by, showing the work that you're doing and showing the knowledge that you have. And as far as getting like permission from brides, like if it's a bride who got her dress from us, we're emailing and asking, they're sending it to us. And then for our wedding planning and flower clients, we have like a photography release in our contract. So we have had a few that will say, like, I don't feel comfortable signing this. And in that case, we will respect that. We'll take that out of our contract. But for the most part, most of our clients don't have an issue with that. So we've already gotten the permission up front.
Cool. So you have a process for after their wedding date to reach back out to them to get photos of them in their dress and that.
Yeah. Event. So we use a lot of different systems. So we use Aisle Planner for our wedding and flower clients. So we have like reminders after the wedding to reach out, make sure we get a survey. We want to find out if they have any feedback, good or bad. And then from there, like, we know, okay, they're happy. Awesome. We'll reach back out a few months later, get pictures, whether it's directly from them or from the photographer. And then for the boutique, we have a POS system that we use, which manages like inventory tasks. So, after the wedding, the bridal stylist will reach out to their brides and say, like, how was the wedding? Like, we can't wait to see pictures. And I would say most share them with us, I think.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's a good wedding day. You love your dress. Like,
yeah,
why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What does the next 10 years look like for Ivory and Beau?
Oh, gosh. Well, getting our new space ready is step one. And then that's a really good question, because I've been thinking about that a lot, too. I would say there's definitely multiple directions that I have in mind. I've always wanted to bring some higher end, more couture lines to the boutique. And for so long, our space was so boho. It was like, this doesn't
make sense.
This doesn't align. This doesn't align. But now, we're in a really, well, it's not beautiful yet. It will be beautiful space. So, creating an environment that feels right, I think, is important. I think it's important for, the brands to all align. That's, one direction I have in mind. And then for weddings and flowers, I think just continuing to expand our reach, and not the size of wedding in terms of like guest count, but size of wedding in terms of maybe like how many flowers you have, doing like a lot more flowers at one wedding. We love doing like big hanging installations, but like, can we do even bigger weddings? So that's always been like a goal we're trying to move towards. And then like, for me personally, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do after this, because I'm having too much fun building stuff that I don't know if I'll be happy going back to sitting behind a computer for 8 hours. So I've been trying to brainstorm, like, what am I going to do next that also adds value to the business? Whether that's having, I don't know, vacation rentals that we can rent to clients, or who knows? Who knows? Yeah. I feel like there's so many possibilities. It's just like I need somebody to help rein me in and then tell me, Nicole, you do this next.
You are a classic entrepreneur with all the ideas. I love
and
it, though.
I'll do that. I'll do that.
You sound like you love what you do. And I also like hear it in your voice about, yeah, the building stuff and that maybe just maintenance, like it's never done. You want it. You want to add stuff onto it or grow it. And that's pretty cool. I'm glad you're so excited about everything.
Yeah.
If our audience wants to know more about you, where should they follow you?
So we're Instagram at Ivory and Beau. So Ivory, like the color, spelled out A-N-D, B as in boy, E-A-U. And we're that pretty much across all platforms, Pinterest, TikTok, Facebook. Are there other things people use? You say YouTube. We're on YouTube. And that's the best place to follow along with what's going on.
Excellent. Well, Nicole, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to speak with you today, and congratulations on your 10-year anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us on the Credible Brand Podcast. Please visit wigfieldco.com. That's WIGFIELDCO.com. From there, get links and show notes pertaining to this episode. Send us an email at info@wigfieldco.com if you'd like to be a guest on a future show.